The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Hello, welcome to our program. You're calling from Panama City. How you doing?
Not real good.
But Panama City is a nice place.
I wouldn't know. I'm locked up in the dungeon all day.
Have you heard our show down there yet?
No, I'm not yet. I can't hear good. I had a lot of surgery since last time.
What has been going on, Mildred?
Well, just don't hang up on me. See what happened. Well, I was doing number two, and you fell out of the hole. And I reached back and it was a wiping all. And I kept a feeling something. And I grabbed it in the pose. And
no, please.
It was my hemorrhoids. And I had to have them cut off.
Mm-hmm. 98.5 The Store, the Sports Hub. That story is great in so many ways, in that there is, first of all, she says, I can't hear that well right now. It has something to do with hemorrhoids.
She pulled it so hard that, like, it rubbed her eardrum.
Right. It was like when a magician nails the string and pulls it out of his mouth.
Right. It's as if there's one cord that just connects your hemorrhoids to the inside of your brain, and when she pulled it, the eardrum just went boop.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
It's like one of those, like, plastic champagne bottles that they sell at the fireworks stores.
Yeah, and boop. She, there's that, and then there's no end to the story.
And the fact that she called to tell him that. She had to tell you, listen, Paul, I had to tell you about my hemorrhoids.
Oh,
I ain't got no one else to talk
to. Rich
to.
Is telling me that there's a good chance Mildred's dead, which is just a shame.
She may be. I mean, she was like 87, I think, you know, when these calls were made. And I think these could be up to 10 years old. I mean, they may be. And I do know, however, that I, thanks to a listener, was stumbled upon something that might confirm one of the stories that Mildred's been telling, and that is that she had an affair with Bear Bryant.
Because I was always thinking about the bear.
That's right. And then they asked, well, what did you guys do? And
yeah, we bumped uglies.
Yes, they did. They indeed
bumped uglies.
Yes, yep, that's right. So a listener sent me an excerpt from The Last Coach, A Life of Paul Bear Bryant. And he just searched the word Mildred. And sure enough, in the book, there's this passage. One girlfriend was Mildred Bird. Her father drove a Cadillac, and she came to watch the Redbugs games. She lived in Camden, which is about a 30-minute ride from Fordyce, and the freight trains were running fast. When Paul rode the train to visit her, Mildred and her mom would meet him at the station, and they would go to Mildred's house, sip lemonade, and talk. Paul would return to the station and grab the next freight to Fordyce a little after midnight. One night, he rode for 27 miles on the outside of a train, clinging to the door just to meet Mildred. Paul was to lose Mildred to a basketball player from her own school. And then it just goes on like that. So
Mildred was like a freshman in high school.
Well, good to know. I guess according to the, like, Paul Feinbaum, when he was talking to them, there was one point where they compared the ages and they sounded like they were the same age.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like they were the same age. So, yeah. So she, of course, you know, had to call in and brag about, you know. But that's not the only thing that Mildred's just a lonely lady who just wants to call and has no filter and tell the world,
like,
everything.
It just seems like she's lived quite a life.
She does. I mean, you know, there's, you know.
And I grabbed it in the pose.
She did. So sometimes she has family drama. And in this case, she learned something about her daughter. So let's take it to Mildred, shall we?
Yes.
Then we go to Tuscaloosa and are joined by Mildred.
Well, Mildred's a woman all over the place.
She is. I think that she started in Tuscaloosa when she started calling them, and then she moved to Panama City.
Okay.
So we go to Tuscaloosa and are joined by Mildred.
Oh.
Hello, Mildred. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been hearing you talk newspaper about John Rocker today.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, okay.
What did she say? She's speaking some sort of strange language. Just old lady gibberish.
Well, I mean, this predates Panama City and the Amaroid incident.
It does.
Pretty good. I've been hearing you talk newspaper about John Rocker today.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I love my daughter, and she's a lesbian, and there ain't no need to get all upset because people don't like lesbians and all that. It just, I still love her and all that, but she's a lesbian, you know.
Lesbian.
She's a lesbian.
That's like how Wilford Brimley says diabetes.
She's a lesbian, you know.
She's lesbian.
Lesbian.
Your daughter is a lesbian?
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't know what that was when she first told me.
Well, how did she explain it?
Well, she said it's like when...
Be careful, Mildred.
Two women like one another, like a man and a woman.
Right. That's a pretty fair explanation, wouldn't you say?
Well, I didn't know how, you know, you got the... Hecky, you know.
What's that?
Well, I didn't know how you got pleasure.
Or the hickey. That's what they call it. How do you get the hickey?
What did you feel like after you got that hemorrhoid removed?
Pleasure. Yeah,
right. I don't know if it was pure pleasure. I think you pull and you pull. I think you might be getting the opposite of that.
Bear Bryant, when he would take off his hat and do what he had to do, what'd you feel?
Pleasure.
Or the hickey.
Can you imagine Mildred, like, sitting there and trying to figure out? No, you both got vaginas.
Just, like, scratching your chin.
Yeah, like, scratching your chin.
It's like the thought bubble over her head.
Like, completely, like, what? How does that work?
Can you isolate the hickey?
Yeah.
For me? That's one of the best.
Yeah.
How did they get the hickey?
The hickey, you know.
What's that?
Well, I didn't know how you got pleasure.
A pleasure. Do you understand it after the explanation?
But she ran it one of these old... sex videos showed it to me. I know what it was.
It's an interesting way to teach your mom. Now, I wonder if it was like a film strip from the 50s.
Now, mother, they understand her daughter's probably like 65.
Yeah.
Now, mom, I could just tell you things like a mature adult, or I could show you this video.
I could show you like only chicks 25.
Right.
Pleasure.
Mildred,
the only thing I ever did was a menage a trois.
Wait, what? What'd you say?
A menage a trois.
Bear Bryant and Tom Landry. They hung their hats on the door.
Pleasure.
Yeah. You can leave your hat on.
How do they get that pleasure?
Pleasure.
Let me figure this out.
The only thing I've had is a... I think Mildred had a very interesting life, especially in the South.
Are you kidding me? Without a doubt. We're learning this every day.
My night before.
I think it's menage a trois. You would be amazed what they can do with a hayseed.
What?
You chew on a hayseed and then you use it as a...
menage a trois.
French tickler. I always liked Bear because he was used... ribbed condoms for my pleasure. You know, Paul, pain can be pleasure.
Pleasure.
Nice spanking. Old and bare love to spank.
And I grabbed it in a pose, in a pose.
Okay, well, that's not... It's got new meaning now.
Oh, what? Menage a trois. But, you know, lesbian is just when you like woman and ain't a bisexual, you see.
Yeah. So, Mildred, why don't we just kind of bid farewell for the evening?
Well, I'm doing it, Paul.
All right. Yeah. I am unfortunately getting some notices here. People are sending me obituaries from Panama City of people named Mildred. Good. Now, it doesn't say anything around here that she's this caller. Like, I'm reading there's a woman named Mildred. So this can't be right because this says that it was this year that she died and she was 84. That's not true because that call, she said, one of the calls, she said she was 87.
Well, sometimes I'd have Bear put me in a coffin.
Would you
know? And then rituals we did were satanic.
Now she's this sweet old lady's a Satanist?
Well, I went through a phase. Me and Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay, well, that's weird. The Sammy Davis Jr. thing is very weird.
He was really, in real life, a Satanist.
Which is one of the odder Hollywood stories of all time.
It's absolutely true, and he made a television show based. He was, and the reason he joined the Satanic Church is because they had sex all the time. All right, so you're getting obituaries from Mildred, but we're not sure they're real.
No, we're not sure they're real. I'm going to have to take a look because, I mean, you got to think that if that was something, if she passed, they must have covered that. They had to.
And Feinbaum, I wonder if it's one of the ones Feinbaum went to the funeral because he does that from time to time. Well, very interesting nonetheless. So poor Mildred.
Cold eyes always. Thinking about the bear. Pleasure. She's lesbian, you know.
Yeah, of course she is.
Yes, she is. Pleasure. All right.
Pleasure.
We're going to talk to Levin Reed coming up. This portion of Toucher and Rich is brought to you by 128 Volvo.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't let this guy on the screen because he's a Broncos.
Ah, I just got bit. Damn it.
Do not go on that TV at all.
Yeah.
Do not, because you're a Broncos fan. Right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I got to take Benadryl.
WBC's Levin Reed joins us live right now from Foxborough with more on how this team has been preparing. Lev?
Yeah, I'll tell you, but first and foremost, let me tell you, I know it's preseason football because I just got bit by a bee out here. If you guys get to me, all good, but it's been fantastic that everybody here was so helpful to make sure that I wasn't going to fall into anaphylactic shock.
.985, the Sports Hubby did not fall into anaphylactic shock. Levin Reed from WBZ Television will be, I'm sure, covering the big preseason game tonight, a Super Bowl rematch.
Yes, and it has all of the excitement that the Super Bowl did. I obviously, Lane Johnson thinking it's going to be hostile territory, Levin Reed.
Well, first and foremost, I should say I got stung because we all know the ferocious teeth that a bee has.
Yes.
So I didn't get bit.
Yeah, you got bit by a bee. I was going to let that go. Yeah. And that poor, and you didn't even realize that.
I was so surprised you were going to let that go. I was like, what are you doing? Don't let that go.
Well, listen, you were in a sea of agonizing pain. I didn't want to pile on.
The way you were talking, like I mean, were you, you know, kind of like playing it up, or are you somebody who's kind of like Macaulay Culkin was in that movie My Girl, where you could die from getting a sting?
I'm one of those people who, when they were growing up, I lived in a bubble because I had like 9,000 allergies and I had to take so many shots to strengthen my immune system as a child. So, you know, as you get older, you don't know what the reaction can be when you get something. So I got stung by a bee. And by the way, I'm sitting on the edge of the new sporting club and I can hear the beehive beneath me. So all I hear is, and in my mind, I'm like, just don't curse. Whatever you do not curse on the air, because they put you on this edge where you obviously are going to look like, you know, one of those people who should be wearing the beekeeper outfit to go on the air, but I'm not. I'm in this regular outfit in this hot weather, and I'm going to get stung. And that's why I was like, I just knew I was, and I had Benadryl ready to go at the same time. And afterwards, I was like, let's just move away from here. Because I'm just going to freak out and start screaming on TV. So that never happened.
Oh, man. Good. Yeah. I mean, so it was so bad you could, hang on, you said you could hear the buzzing, and it was right underneath your, like, where you were broadcasting?
They like redid the building, so there's all these different like outlets where bees kind of burrowed in on the second floor. So we're on the third floor, so you can when you're sitting there, you can hear like you know the bees were like having like you know an orgy there. I was like, what's going on beneath?
It sounds like it makes for a pleasurable dining experience.
There's nothing
on the
like
patio.
There's nothing like a bee orgy. Tell you what, just the pollen everywhere.
Okay,
all right. Honey for it was just so much honey. I was like, oh, this is great.
That's how they make honey. Yeah. It's an intense orgy.
So it was just intense. I was like, wow, this is nothing you want to get involved in, but something to watch.
Absolutely. Tell me you're going to be there, broadcasting from there again tonight, because then at least, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've already brought, like, the raid and all types of watch stuff. But
best part for Levin is, they put Levin in direct sunlight. I mean, it's Levin tends to sweat a little bit, too. So, I mean, they put him in direct sunlight above a beehive. Perfect.
Well, let me first and foremost, Wallach, let's do this. I'm quite dark. So when I get on television, if you put me in the darkness,
you tend to blend in.
My fault, Levin. Sorry.
There's a camouflage effect.
I had no idea. I'm very sorry.
You see, John doesn't see color.
My mistake.
I get it. But I understand. Thank you, though, for thinking about my well-being.
We were worried about you there, so. Sure that we followed up when he said anaphylactic shock. I'm like, I don't think he's joking.
I think the best part is that we are in television. So, like, once, and you know, once they were like, is he okay? Do we have all the video?
Right.
Not a lot of sympathy.
Yeah. A slight bit of concern, just enough to make sure that they got the shot. All right. So, we were talking about the defense and how the last two times we've seen this defense play, one being preseason and the other being the Super Bowl, they just got lit up. Everyone's concerned about the wide receiver situation, as everyone should, but I mean, how confident are you that they've done anything to improve this team defensively going into this new season?
Not confident at all yet, and only because I don't even know what it's going to look like. And I understand when you look at this preseason, they're just trying to do matchups and see which guys are going to get beat, you know, since you stop the guy in front of you. And right now, obviously, when you watch last week's game, they couldn't stop the guy in front of you. I thought Kyle Van Noy had made a jump, and then I watched the game and the game tape, and I'm like, well, he didn't make a jump. All I saw was him running after a guy like I usually see him. I think they think that Juwan Bentley's going to give them a little help in the middle of the field, but they need Dante Hightower to play. How many games are we expecting him to play? 10? Because he's going to get hurt, you know, eventually, because that's what Dante Hightower does. And then this whole thing with Jason McCourty on the other side, or if Jason McCourty, I mean, he didn't play that first game, and Belichick in his press conference was talking, you know, you got to earn the right to play in these preseason games. And I was like, whoa, so he has to earn the right to play? What does that mean?
Do you think that Jason McCourty stays on this team?
I think he does stay on this team, but I don't think it's like a gimme. I don't think it's an easy thing. I think for a guy coming in, and you already know what he can do, and then they see guys like Duke Dawson, and they see guys like J.C. Jackson, you know, maybe who fell off a little bit, but at the same time, they can grow and get better. I think they feel good about that. I'll tell you this. He fell, and the defense, they fell in love with Eric Rowe. They love Eric Rowe like, you know, as if he was a cousin of somebody they know. And it's just, he played, I mean, so, but your thought is maybe Eric Rowe's got that second spot, so now that third spot and that fourth spot is a problem. And Jonathan Jones is coming back off injury, and he looks good. So they feel that Jonathan Jones can get a spot too. So now it's just a matter of where does Jason fit in. I think it would be an awful shame if he doesn't fit in and he gets let go. But at the same time, that's business. And you know how it is here in New England. Like, if they could care less if you brought your, you know, is that your mother? Well, we're going to have to cut her. You know? They could care less. They don't have any qualms about letting people go.
All right, so, Levin, it looks like Tom Brady's going to play tonight, and I'm curious what your thoughts are about the offensive line in front of them. Obviously, left tackle looks like it's taken care of. We're waiting to see where Isaiah Wynn gets plugged in. Apparently, he's on the right side tonight.
I think they're going to put him at guard, or they're going to put him at right tackle. I think ideally they thought he was going to be the left tackle. I think maybe going forward, he may be the left tackle, like in a couple of years. But Trent Brown, if you've seen him, you can't miss him. I mean, he really is like a walking shadow. It's just the biggest man you're ever going to see. And I think in front of him, it's amazing how Adrian Waddle has kind of become that guy where we're like, well, they can't lose Adrian Waddle. It's one of those things because he can fit into different spots outside of center. So that's going to be good. One of those guys is going to have to go. And, like, I almost get the feeling before the season comes out or we get to end of training camp, one of them is going to get traded. I almost think Shaq Mason is going to get traded because I don't think they're going to be able to pay him towards the end of this year. I saw what Shaq Mason is supposed to get, like, anywhere between $10 or $11 million in free agency, and that ain't happening here. He's not getting that for a guard. So that's not going to happen. One of those guys is going to have to go. They may go before the season's out.
Now, Levin, I was thinking about this last night. Other than immediately after the Super Bowl, when they chased down Josh McDaniels and begged him to stay, and he ended up ended up sticking around, and we all know how that went. Are you shocked that the Patriots really haven't done much of anything outside the draft to improve this team in the offseason? I mean... Brady got a week $5 million incentive. The Gronkowski thing didn't happen. There weren't any major moves, despite them knowing that there were going to be deficiencies. A lot of, Amendola's gone. So they went into the negative a lot. They lost some talent. But are you shocked at the just inactivity by the Patriots to do anything to improve this team over the offseason?
I was when I first started looking at it because it was one of those things where I was like you. I was like, why wouldn't you go ahead and go get a better player? But they're not going to pay the money. They just don't do that. They'd rather build through the draft, and that's the way their system works. Then, two, I kind of went back to 2005 and looked how they addressed their team after they went 3 out of 4 Super Bowls then. And they didn't address it then either. They just basically kind of kept the same team, and like they had this fatigue factor. That's why I actually thought they didn't have a lot of practices and they didn't want to do a lot of joint practices, because I remember in 2005, guys were talking about how exhausted they were because they had gone 2 or 3 out of 4 Super Bowls. Well, this is the same case. And everybody's like, why is Bill going easy? I'm like, because his team's exhausted. They've been exhausted. They're having a football hangover. They should have brought in new bodies. They should have brought in guys that around the league that maybe wanted to win a championship. But I tell you what, this is the time to strike hot, meaning for the iron, because if you're watching Hard Knocks and you see what Cleveland's rolling out there and how that coaching staff is, I mean, this is the time to say, hey, do you guys want to win? Do you want to come here to win? This is the time, because that's how most staffs are, what Cleveland is. That's how most staffs in this league are, where they don't have any idea what's going on. The Patriots, at least players can say, well, I know what they want to do. I was extremely shocked. I'm with you that they didn't try to go out and get someone who can kind of light a fire underneath this game.
And Levin, I'm thinking back to after they won the 3 Super Bowls, and I know you were saying they kind of went there with the same team, but this team lost at least 3 major pieces. I mean, in Brandon Cooks, Malcolm Butler, Danny Amendola, you would think at least in one of those areas they would have made some sort of just effort to get some talent in here. I don't know, it just kind of hit me last night when
Solder
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And Nate Solder, and that's another name.
Nate Solder's the one.
That's, and
Nate
you're right.
Nate Solder's the one that bothers, because the running back thing, I'm like, you knew they were going to lose Malcolm Butler, and I think they thought they could get another corner that they could find in the draft, and they've done that. How many corners did they draft? They've dropped like 3 or 4 corners.
Yeah, we got a million.
They weren't
going
to pay for Amendola, and Amendola is a specialty player. So I don't know if that's out there for Amendola. I mean, I really don't. And remember, when Amendola got into the league, he got into the league as everybody else. He got cut a couple of times. He was let go. He was on practice squads, and then all of a sudden he found his footing. I'm not sure if that was on the market. To find Amendola, but Nate Solder, you could have kept, or you could have found someone like Nate Solder. And maybe they think they found it in Trent Brown. I'm not sure. And I do want to say this. I know Nate Solder left. There was points in the middle of the season last year where we all thought Nate Solder was trash. And then all of a sudden, when he gets let go, we all thought, you know, he's the coming of Jonathan Ogden. So it's just a matter of, I mean, I agree that they needed to do something to boost the roster, but I don't know if it was drastic enough that they should have gone out and made a big splash, which they did. And again, I don't know if losing Brandon Cooks he had a good season, a great season, but I don't know if it was that big, if he was going to fit into them long term for what they wanted to do and how much money these guys are going to. I mean, a lot of it is this. They're not, you know as well as I do, they're not going to pay the money for some of these players. They're just not.
Oh,
their
sure.
They gave like $5 million and like, here you go, incentives. That's their best player. How many times are we talking about maybe Gronk is like the best tight end ever and they're still quibbling with him over cash?
Yeah.
It's just not going to be the case.
All right, Levin Reed from WBZ. Enjoy yourself tonight. Try not to get bit by anything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Jalen Ramsey from the Jacksonville Jaguars had a lot to say yesterday, and the people that he talked about had nothing to say. We'll talk about that here, the headlines. 98.5.
Toucher and Rich.
So far, there's been some interesting things this offseason. This preseason in football. You have the mess of the Cleveland Browns, which was just a mistake for them to allow those cameras in there.
You know what I was thinking? It might be the best thing for the Cleveland Browns to happen just let the world see how horribly it's run and to get embarrassed. Because you saw that in week two where Hugh Jackson at least put forth an effort to try to keep these guys in line and keep them motivated and not slacking. And, of course, it didn't work that well, but at least when the world is busting your balls about it, maybe the GM or the owner might go, we got major problems. I know it's the worst owner, one of the worst owners in sports.
I was just going to say, you have the worst owner, the worst head coach.
But humiliation.
Second worst owner.
Yeah.
Second worst owner.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Dolan's pretty bad, too.
Throw him in a hat.
Dolan's not criminal, though,
I'm just saying in football. No. You got a guy who somehow became the governor of Tennessee as his brother. There's a whole lot going on.
Yeah, there's some weird shenanigans. But I think that maybe, you know, embarrassment and shame sometimes is the best motivator. So it could be good for the organization. All I know is right now it's fascinating. But you're right. That's been one of the more interesting things that's happened here in the offseason.
And then you had joint practices between the Jets and Redskins where Terrell Pryor was getting just attacked ferociously by the Washington defense. Apparently they hated him, and then they were coming at him and he was flinching, and then everyone was making fun of him, and Terrell Pryor wouldn't engage with him, which makes me want them to cut him. But now you have Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey, by now, you know, did an interview in GQ, and he says that
well, first of all, real quick, before you get into what he says, I've heard a ton of criticism of Jalen Ramsey, people saying, well, what has he ever won? How does he have a right to say this? And to that I say, I don't care. Everyone should be able to open their mouth and run it because it's boring when they don't. So God bless someone like Jalen Ramsey who's not afraid. And doesn't it seem like every year there's like the mouthy cornerback?
Yeah, because it's a position that you need a tremendous amount of confidence to play.
I want my guy like that.
Sure.
That's my number one guy, and that's what he is. If that guy is going to check the number one receiver on the other team, I want a guy who thinks he is the best in the world.
By the way, he's used his mouth to get people off their game. He got A.J. Green to fight him.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then what he said is
Green, like, chokeslammed him after a while.
And then tried to hit him in the helmet.
The most mild-mannered one out there is just chokeslammed him because he was so angry at him.
Jalen Ramsey, after every play, told him he sucked, and just kept going after him and going after him until he made AJ Green. And then what I think is funny about it too is like, what are these quarterbacks not going to try? Like, you're a quarterback, you have so much on your plate. It's not like basketball where if you pissed off Jordan, you know, he would just go and embarrass you, and he would just decide on a Wednesday night in February to destroy you and embarrass you.
It's not Larry Bird where he would go up to you and just like hit one over your head and then walk away before he run in.
You're a quarterback.
Right.
I mean, there's not, you have a lot on your plate. You wouldn't be wise to directly challenge the best cornerback on the field at all times.
I just heard people crapping on this guy, and I'm like, as members of the media, we should encourage this.
I don't know why anyone would crap on him. Again, I don't even know what the repercussions of this would be. But he doesn't think Aaron Rodgers sucks. He doesn't think Brady sucks. He doesn't think Tyrod Taylor sucks. He doesn't think Mariota sucks. He's not convinced about Garoppolo. He thinks Deshaun Watson is going to win an MVP. He thinks Wentz is going to win an MVP. He thinks Goff is average. He likes Kirk Cousins, which was kind of surprising to me.
Everything he's saying, by the way, is right, just from the eye test, just from being a fan and watching. He's not saying anything that's, like, rocking our world.
Well, he says Kirk Cousins is the Steve DeBerg of our day. He's the master of the play fake. He likes Derek Carr.
The Matt Ryan thing was a little surprising.
No, the Matt Ryan thing makes complete sense. Okay, so what he says about Matt Ryan is he says, let me actually find him specifically talking about Matt Ryan.
Well,
he goes, I think Matt Ryan's overrated. You can't tell me you win the MVP 2 years ago, and then last year you complete bust, and you still got Julio Jones? There's no way that should ever happen. I don't care. You know what that tells me? That tells me that after Kyle Shanahan left and went to San Francisco, got Garoppolo, made Garoppolo this big thing, and now Garoppolo is a big name, and now Matt Ryan has a bad year? All right, well then, was it really you, or was it your coach? He was doing what was asked of him, and it was making him look really, really good. And he kind of makes a point. I mean, how else would you explain Matt Ryan?
Well, he has a big thing for Shanahan because he says Garoppolo is benefited from that system, and that's how 49ers beat Jacksonville, that it wasn't him, it was the system. And then he goes on to say he's got to say things about Bortles and so on and so forth.
Well, then he said that
how crappy a pick the kid from Wyoming
Josh
was.
Allen. That might be the best thing that he said.
Yeah, you said Josh Allen. I mean, he stated the obvious. I mean, Josh Allen.
He said, I think Josh Allen is trash. I don't care what anybody say, he's trash. And it's going to show, too. That's a stupid draft pick to me. We play them this year, and I'm excited as hell. I hope he's their starting quarterback. He played at Wyoming. Every time they played a big school, like they played Iowa State, which is not a big school in
my
opinion.
They didn't play Iowa State, by the way. They played Iowa. But
okay, so because I went to Florida State, and he threw 5 interceptions, and they lost by a couple of touchdowns or something like that. He never beat a big school. If you look at his games against big schools, it's always hella interceptions, hella turnovers. It's like, yo, if you're this good, why can't you do better? He fits that mold. He's a big, tall quarterback, big arm supposedly, but I don't see it personally. I would have picked Lamar Jackson earlier than 32. I think he's going to do a good job, especially with the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator.
He does favor the African-American quarterback. He doesn't have anything.
I don't know. He loves. Brady, Rodgers.
He doesn't love Brady and Rodgers. He says that they don't suck. He saves his highest praise. Well, Carson Wentz, but...
I think the question started with who doesn't suck, and he immediately starts with those two.
Right. But then, I mean, he does seem to lean into the African-American quarterback. I mean, he's very into Lamar Jackson, Tyrod Taylor.
Well, right after Lamar Jackson, he goes, and just being honest about it, Joe Flacco sucks.
Yeah.
I played him 2 years in a row, and he sucks. And then he goes, what are the quarterbacks in your opinion that don't suck? Aaron Rodgers does not. Tom Brady does not. I got to think about it. And he goes, you know, Marcus Mariota. He says, I think Tyrod Taylor is actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for because he does not make mistakes. He's honestly a Marcus Mariota type player where he manages a game really well, always has him at least in a position to be in a game late. He just doesn't have turnovers that often. That's all you really need, a good defense. And then someone asked him about his own guy, Blake Bortles. And his answer is the best. Blake, do what he got to do. That's the first thing out of your mouth about your quarterback.
Yeah.
He goes, I think in crunch time moments, like last year's playoff game, not as a team because we would have trusted him, but I think as an organization, we should have trusted him more to keep throwing it. We kind of got complacent and conservative, and I think that's why we lost. We started running it on first and second down, throwing it on third down every single time we were out there. The Patriots caught on to that. So now he's kind of crapping on his coordinators, which is great as well.
Right. Okay. But the thing that is disappointing about all this is the reaction of the players that he's talked about. Because they talked to Josh Allen, and he says he doesn't care because they're not on the same team. I guess I get that because they're a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning says he had no comment, and then at the end he goes, who? And then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And so these quarterbacks will not fight back.
No.
They won't say anything. I mean, if the guy goes on and on and on about how you suck, wouldn't you say something back?
Yeah.
I mean, you got it. This is no fun. It doesn't begin and end with Jalen Ramsey. How is it bad for the organization if you talk crap back?
Well, I mean, maybe it's just like, you know, what's that phrase? Why should a lion care what the pigs say?
I mean, can you imagine this?
Well, that's not it at all. You see, Jalen Ramsey is a lion that you're going to try and beat at one point.
I mean, you can imagine if you did that to, like, the 70s Raiders. What would come back at you? I mean, you got to say something back. There's got to be some beef at least going on a little bit. Or someone step up and counter Ramsey.
What he says about Eli is so good. He goes, he's talking about Derek Carr, how he likes him. And he goes, I think he's good. Eli Manning, he says, it's not really Eli. I think it's Odell Beckham Jr. I wouldn't say Eli is good. I'll say Odell's good. And their connection is good.
Well, that's stupid. Because he's won two Super Bowls without Odell Beckham.
Oh, and he kind of rips on Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, well, he kind of.
Yeah,
he rips on him.
He says, I think he's decent at best. It's not Big Ben, it's Antonio Brown. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time.
Again, two Super Bowls without Antonio Brown.
He just slings it and his receivers go get it. He has a strong arm, but he ain't all that. I played him twice last year and he really disappointed me. He'd be in the Hall of Fame and all that. So, there you go. I just like Blake do what he got to do.
Yeah. I'm not convinced he likes Blake Bortles. He kind of rides both sides of the fence.
He accepts Blake Bortles.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He knows he can't make fun of Blake Bortles.
But he made fun of his coordinators, which I thought was great.
Well, you know, he was disappointed in the game plan. But that's what you want out of a corner.
Oh, yeah. He goes, how much do you go up against Blake Bortles in practice? He goes, we never go against him unless it's training camp. We never go against him in practice during the season. They said, they go against the twos? Yeah, scout team. Plus, we don't want to hurt his confidence. That would probably hurt his confidence.
He's a very confident young man.
That's perfect. Just what I want.
Well, it's all conversation up to this point because we were talking yesterday about honks. And Giardi tonight debuts. Mike Giardi debuts on the NFL Network, and there was some debate if he was a honk. And Rich was strong in his belief that Giardi was a honk.
I thought he was.
And then you were outvoted.
Fred said he was a cutie pie.
I said he was a little cutie pie, a little guy. And then we all agreed Phil Perry was a honk. So what we did is we took intern Nick, and he took photos of most of the staff of NBC Sports Boston, took it to Machine, and had the guy from Machine, first of all, I haven't heard the audio, but Rich has. First of all, find out who the honk is. And then secondly, just he reviews the looks of the people.
No, I can't wait. I'm looking at Rich's face.
But Rich, does he describe one person as a honk?
Yeah.
But no, we find out who ultimately is the honk.
Yeah, I mean, you find out he definitely
But there's
gives
subgenres.
Name. Yeah. I kind of wish I chopped about a minute and a half out of that.
Why, Haggerty?
Oh,
it's
no.
It's Haggerty.
Oh, man.
Haggerty knows he's unattractive.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
I can't wait now. This is going to be great.
Yeah. We're going to hear all about it. Guy from Machine rates the personalities of NBC Sports Boston. We find out who once and for all is a honk. We'll be right back.
95 The Sports Hub.